January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AUDIOBOOM. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AUDIOBOOM for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AUDIOBOOM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour two starting right now, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Monday after a full week of vacation for all of us. Two of us came back 100% ready to go, and the other one's here.
98%.
One of us came back a champion.
Oh, that's...
And then there's that.
Jeez.
So we didn't miss a beat.
I feel bad for Seattle.
How so?
Because they have to go on the road. An 11-5 team has to go on the road and play a playoff game against a 9-7 team.
Suck it up. Win your division. Win the game last night. Do that. How about that?
A 9-7 football team gets to play at home and host a team that is 11-5.
Now you're the Eagles are now the Houston Texans.
They have to travel across country, which we know always affects teams when you go from West Coast to East Coast.
Go early.
All right. Well, you obviously don't feel sorry for
Not
Seattle.
A single ounce. They get to play the Eagles instead of having to play the Vikings or somebody else.
Says the Packer fan.
They should win. I'm pissed off because if they'd have won and don't get the damn delay of game penalty, then the Packers are the one seed and everybody goes through Lambeau. And now they got a legitimate chance to do something.
Instead,
I've told you they're the most overrated team in the playoffs with only three losses. The Packers.
Oh.
But you were right. They ran the table. They did run the table. I'll give you that.
See?
I give you credit. You poop on me. That's fine.
I don't poop on you.
Oh,
that's
you should.
You shut up.
Seattle, though, only a +7. We were talking about plus minus differentials and teams. The Texans being a -7. Seattle's only a +7 for a team that's 11-5 and looked dominant. They really, I felt like, struggled down the stretch. But Niners are for real, man. And they, I'm with you. That was a bonehead ass play at the end. How do you let time run out? And you just knew it was set up for Marshawn Lynch to come in and win that football game. It was like written in the stars and I told my wife, watch this. Beast Mode is about to win this football game. First game back for Seattle. How this place is going, it's going to implode on itself. And then they do that stupid ass delay of game. And I was like, well, they deserve to lose now.
Yeah, I mean, look, especially because I didn't think Marshawn as much. They surprised me because, like, it was a month ago or less that they had video of Marshawn lighting up a joint and hanging out at a tailgate party. And I'm like, this dude ain't ready to play. When they signed him, I said it was a publicity stunt. But then you saw him go over the top on the first goal line stand. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wait a minute now. He's got a little burst. He got up in the air. He handled the ball. And then he got the 15-yard run where he had some toughness. I'm like, okay.
I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to be in game shape. But because he would come in, he would run.
And then he'd go out right away.
And then he would go, he would come in for one play. He would go rest for a couple. Come in for one play, rest for a couple. And at first, there were some struggles. Like, you could tell that, and they even mentioned it on the broadcast, so I don't want to take credit for diagnosing this. But they even said San Francisco knew when he was in the game, it was a run play. They're not putting Marshawn Lynch
for pass protection
and to throw to him necessarily. So you kind of knew. So they had to they keyed in on him a little bit early on, but then he started getting it going a little bit. And, of course, he had the big touchdown, and I fully believe he would have scored if they would have had time and ran the ball.
Kudos to the Seahawks, because they came back after an abysmal first half in which the Niners dominated in every way they possibly could and left a lot of points on the table.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to come back and do what they did and then to be that careless with the clock to cost yourself 5 yards foolish. When you needed it, because you already wasted a down by downing the ball on the one, and then you can't get the next play off. And then all of a sudden, from the variety of plays you called that kept the Niners kind of all of a sudden off balance on that final drive, then they couldn't get anything right. And then the interference call, again, I go back to the NFL and go, you started to at least use the rule the way it was supposed to be in place, but then you see the linebacker bear hug and grab the tight end. Yeah. And I'm going, okay, now wait a minute. He can't review that. He can't throw the red flag because we're inside of 2 minutes.
And the league should have.
And especially when the national broadcast calls attention to it, that's when they go, oh, red light, got to make sure we take a look at that. Yep. The fact that they didn't, that would have erased a lot of what I'm talking about with the delay of game penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it would have been reviewed as well, and they didn't. And I was like, oh, boy. But you wonder, too, because I thought for sure that he was going to get the touchdown. What was it? Was it maybe I'm confusing my games. I'm a little out of it.
Which one?
But wasn't there a catch on like the 1 yard line where he was barely in?
Well, I mean, you're talking about the last play of the game or
leading up to it. Did they spot it at the one?
I don't think there was anyone where there was close.
Maybe I'm confusing my games.
You might be talking about the AJ Brown reception in the Texans game.
No.
That was a reception right before the one.
Well, that was a hell of a catch, too. No.
Boy, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you look at that, too. Metcalf played a big game for them.
Yeah.
And Brown for the Titans. And in that draft, they got a couple receivers right. Those guys played their asses off. But look, Russell Wilson does some amazing things. And the fact that he was able to march that field, that team down the field. And like you said, you're looking at their record now going into the playoffs. I really believe that would have been their second win against San Francisco. I believe they deserved to win that football game the way they played the second half. And the fact that it ended like that was so disappointing. And I've got friends that are Seahawk fans, including my brother-in-law, that were just like, look, we'll take it. It's the Eagles. But, yeah, we got to go across, kind of what you said, though, going across the country and everything like that. But you know what? I think that they got jobbed a little bit by the league, too, and the fact that there should have been something done about the call that should have been at least reviewed. Look, even if you decide to leave it, you got to review it.
But and if it gets if they get the call, it's like you feel like that Seattle always gets those calls. Yeah, this is it. I'm not crazy.
That's what I said, the last play of the game.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the pass.
I asked you if that's
said,
what you were referring to.
Yeah, well, I didn't. You made me feel like that it didn't happen.
No, I didn't.
Like, you felt like you're like confusing yourself. You weren't sure either. So
yeah,
I was like,
said, you mean the last play
I thought
of the game?
I really thought it was AJ Brown, and then when you kept talking, no, he really isn't talking about that catch.
I'm a little loopy. I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
But I was like, okay, yeah, that did happen in that game. I thought I wasn't crazy, but I felt like they were gonna get that as a touchdown because Seattle always seems to get those kinds of calls, especially at home, even on review. And that's why I thought with the whole defensive pass interference thing, too. I thought,
they would make up for it, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. That's how the Niners lost to the Falcons last week.
Yeah,
with Julio Jones. So that would, and the Niners, that was their fifth straight game, decided, I think, the last play of the game.
Crazy.
Five straight games.
Crazy.
They're 3-2 in their last five. All of them decided on the last play of the game. And then I got to watch hip-hop Adam Sandler celebrate like it's, you know, the greatest thing. I can't stand looking at Kyle Shanahan, and every time you see him, he's trying to act tough by dropping 16 F-bombs.
Why do you hate Kyle
I got
Kyle
personal
Shanahan?
Vendetta against him, too.
Do you?
Yeah. But at the same time,
did
look.
Did he
he's
do
done
something
the,
to
oh, yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Like, messing
like
with
you
the,
personally?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Did he?
I actually threatened to beat his ass.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wait, what?
Tell us this story. Yeah. You didn't say this story on there for sure.
What, no,
did
I don't
it
think
involve
I've ever
a
said
female?
No. It involved athletic competition.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
So we were playing. We did this thing 1 year where we did the front office of the Texans against the front office of the Rockets.
Okay.
We did football, in which they brought their practice squad players to play against us. So last minute, I called Clyde and said, I need a receiver. And he's like, I'm in. And he showed up on his Harley.
Clyde did?
Yeah. Just rolled over and got over there in time. And we were like tied in the fourth quarter and we hung tough and we were in the bubble and it was cool. So then the next step of that was, first of all, our HR department got involved. And in the fourth quarter of a tie game, our HR department got involved, and our VP of HR decided that other people have to play and that we all had to sit out the fourth quarter so that others could play, and they waxed us in the fourth quarter. And we were
I bet you were pissed. So pissed.
Oh, my God. You guys know me well enough to know.
As competitive as you are, my God.
I was red-faced. I was, like, spit coming out of my mouth. I walked out, and Clyde was mad, too, because he's competitive. He's like, what was – I go, you can't fight it because it's the HR department. So then a couple weeks later – At the Compaq Center, we have a game against their front office.
Right.
They hired interns from the Rice basketball team because it was co-ed. So they had the top scorer from the Rice basketball team on their squad. And they were trying to load up again. Well, we were kicking their ass. And I had about 40-some points. I'm not trying to brag on this. I had one of those days where I was making every 3-4-point plays. Everything was going. And Kyle Shanahan had tried to take my knees out 3 straight times.
What?
And I, at the time, I had no idea, mind you, who he was. And so the third time he did it, I looked at him. I said, dude, you do that again, I'm going to kick your ass right here in front of everybody.
Nice. Outside.
And he looked at me. I go, try me. I go, because you know what? I'm not trying to get hurt here. And all of a sudden, someone goes, you know who that is? It's Kyle Shanahan. His dad's Mike Shanahan. I don't give a I was like, I don't care. And so he looked at me. I go, try me. So then we ended up winning that game. And I was like, we're even.
Suck it, Kyle Shanahan.
They won in football. We won in basketball. We're good. And you know what happened? The HR department came over and said, it's now going to be a best of three, and you guys are done. I go, excuse me? They go,
Oh my God, now the story gets better and better.
Now everybody's got to play. You guys won the first one. So we had to sit and watch our B team just get drummed by the ringers that they had on their B team.
Did their B team have to play too?
They brought in some more people. I don't even know where they came from, but like they won. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And then they said we couldn't play till halftime of the third game. Well, by that time, it's like it's over with. But yeah, I personally can't stand
it. So who was the B team? Was it the Fat Ushers?
Like, hilarious, right?
It was all, y'all had to be in the front office. But like, so for example, the guy they brought in to
Daryl's big ass out there playing?
Oh, he would like to, but no.
Oh, man.
Because he would have cheap shot at everybody. And he would have put people in the hot. Yeah, he's the dirtiest player I've ever seen play. Oh, my God.
After you were done beating up Kyle Shanahan.
Daryl's the dirtiest pickup basketball. He'll admit it. The dirtiest pickup basketball player on the planet.
Dirtier than Kyle Shanahan.
Close.
So he's not dirty. Oh,
I've had a baseline layup where Daryl's completely snowplowed me on the practice court.
But that's really.
And I looked at him. I go, "Don't you ever do that again?" I was like, and Daryl was like, "That's just the way I play." I go, "You're the
that's
dirtiest."
That's just the way I play.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He is dirty. He is like a. He is no scruple. He will set a pick on you, and he will. You know how you not just grab the jersey, but you kind of bunch it up and twist it.
Yeah.
So you can't move. That's the way Daryl plays basketball.
Oh, on the pickup game.
Oh yeah.
And he's not really a small dude, too.
No.
So.
No.
And he's got movies. And he just. But,
wow.
And he's not bad. I'm going to say this, too. He's not bad. Like, with the bat, he can make shots.
Yeah. He can knock it down.
Yeah. But okay. not out. He's inside player. But he's not bad that way. But he'll tell you, he is dirty. But nothing, that Kyle Shanahan thing, it will live
funny.
With me forever. And then people
how
like,
come you guys didn't get Daryl and put him on Kyle and just go Nancy Kerrigan on him?
I don't think anybody. Yeah.
Take
his
knees out.
Really
just,
done.
Yeah. I think most of us just didn't want Daryl to play.
Oh, wow. That ain't nice either.
That's true, though.
That is hilarious. That is a funny story.
And the Salah guy, Robert Salah, I believe he played the football game for sure. The D coordinator, the bald guy.
Yeah.
He played the football game for sure. And I'm not sure if he played the basketball game or not. But it was pretty intense.
Did Kyle play the football game?
I don't recall him because I was worked up about the people that were spatted up wearing that were on the practice squad that were playing against us.
Looked like Raheel.
Worse than that. Like, they were all yoked up, jacked up with, you know, cut off tank tops and
they literally
gloves
got practice squad
their...
football players to play against y'all.
Yeah. It was pretty competitive.
Wow. How come y'all didn't get G Leaguers? Oh, that didn't exist at the time.
And then Clyde wouldn't play basketball. He's like, JB, I don't do that anymore.
Oh, boy.
You're banned from
over.
The show, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Banned.
Absolutely.
Suck it.
Yeah, take your buck teeth Adam Sandler look with the flat visor and go somewhere else. They want you on radio somewhere else.
Nice.
There, my story's out. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's hour number 2, 3-hour show. Plenty more to get to. 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. It's the HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through hour number two. Hey, hello. Hey. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Sick Draw McGraw and me and Nick on a Monday.
Somebody said I sound like some guy on the couch of half-baked.
You're like the male version of Delilah. You're like Delino. Your voice is kind of like, what would you like to hear? Why did she leave you? Just because of your loss, we're going to play Richard Marx.
Somebody said, why does Barry sound like the guy on the couch from Half Baked? He sounds sleepy today. Not sleepy.
You kind of do that too.
What?
You sound a little bit tired.
Do I?
Yeah.
I'm not.
It's because your voice is so subdued.
Huh?
It's because your voice is so subdued.
I don't know. I'm definitely not tired. I mean, I'm run down, but I'm not tired.
I feel for you guys and the bad Christmas you had. For that, I will play Richard Marx.
Delilah.
God.
Nora loves that.
So does Craig Ackerman.
I'm like, how do you listen to that garbage?
I don't get it either.
In our last contract that I was involved with for radio, one of the deals we made with the Cardiac Kids to carry the games was that a certain amount of them would also be simulcast on one of the FM stations. And so from time to time, we would be simulcast on Sunny 99.1.
Yeah.
And every single time we were, Craig would be like, special shout out to my girl, Delilah. He goes, love that girl. And he just
met her before?
No, but he just loved gloating about Delilah. I was like, are you serious? I'd look at him and go, this is your bit. This is your thing. He goes, no, dude, no, Delilah's. I was like, oh, my God. Okay.
Nora, I don't, like, it's weird. Delilah's like this weird healing Casey Kasem or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a good call.
I don't know what it is. It's a weird thing.
Somebody isn't her story like she's adopted like 11 kids? And
lost one of them. I think
that's right, too.
Committed
but
suicide or something like that.
She's taken a bunch of kids in and done a bunch of stuff. Not legally, of course.
Right. Yeah. No, all good
stuff. And all above board.
Yeah. Somebody texted the show and said, can I be unblocked for 2020?
Nope.
I miss y'all. No.
Mm-mm. Especially if I know it.
You're still blocked.
Yep. Enjoy that. Although, there's a reason. There's a reason for the season. That's why you are where you are.
Well, it came to the inbox. That's the funny part.
Oh. That is pretty amusing, actually. Yeah.
Can I be unblocked? And there's
the
inbox.
You're out. That's it.
Yeah, no, sorry. Now that you asked, you're definitely going to be
blocked.
And
let that be a lesson to the rest of you, too. If you're going to act up, that's what you're going to get. You don't want that, so don't do that. That simple.
2020 is take no prisoners on the text line.
Did y'all
coming
watch
for
the
all
college
you
games?
Bitches. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I watched. Well, so I got to watch the LSU ass whooping of Oklahoma. And I had to watch this morning. I finally watched the Clemson-Ohio State game. And I got to tell you, all year I had to hear about how crazy I was. Because based on the eye test, all my eyes, look at my eyes say, Ohio State is the best program in the nation. They're the best team ever.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about everybody.
It sounds like you've several people. It sounds like they know really who they are. Kind of zeroed in on who
they
you're
know
talking
who they
about.
Are. But all year,
because I honestly believe too that Ohio State was one of the top two
teams
in the country.
I believe LSU was the best.
And I said all along
team.
With you that LSU was number one.
LSU every time they would play somebody good, they would beat them. And then all we heard about was how Ohio State was just annihilating everybody they played, but they didn't play anybody. And then they got a few resume wins, and okay, cool. They were earning the hype. But what LSU did to Oklahoma, let there be no mistake about it. One of the most dominating football games I've ever seen in college football.
Without question. And it was so fun to watch because every possession he was doing it a different way.
Yeah.
Spreading the ball around. They didn't have to worry about their running game. Although he did get, that was a cheap shot that he took.
Yeah,
At that point, I'd have said, okay, you're done for the day.
Yeah,
we're not taking any more risks because we're going to be there in the championship game. We're going to need you at that point. But overall, the way they did it, and the thing that's so impressive to me is, and you and I have went over this all year long in terms of just strength of schedule and the way they went about their business all year. To have the offense that was so putrid that we'd have to sit there and watch a 6-3 game to Alabama turn into what we saw, honestly, that might be the most prolific offense college football has seen in terms of a major program. In a long time. Maybe ever.
I don't know about ever, but damn.
Did Randy Moss, by the way, look baked? Did you see that when his son scored and they showed him and he was like, he was glazed. He had the ski cap on. He was like, I think that was my son. I mean, but boy, LSU was impressive. When we didn't have the show, I ended up playing pickleball with all my boys about four times. And it was like my extension of the show. They kept asking me, and we were talking sports. And someone said, you don't think LSU can win by two touchdowns over Oklahoma? I said, oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't see that coming at all. And when you think about all their wins against big programs this year, they've all been while that program was in the top 10. Now, obviously, Texas ended up being a bust.
Right.
But Florida at 7, Auburn at 9, Bama at 3, Georgia at 4, Oklahoma at 4. How this team was never not number one the entire year.
Yeah. It was the mystique of Alabama that kept everybody hanging on to that early. State. And then, yeah, right.
But everybody yells about the eye test. Well, what were they watching when they watched LSU?
Now, I will say this. In terms of the balance of the roster, offense, defense, special teams, I thought Ohio State had the most talent on every aspect of the ball.
Did you see that? Okay, and that's fine. Saying, that's look, fine. But the LSU, to me, when watching them play OU, Oklahoma, a prestigious program, they were bigger, they were stronger, they were faster.
LSU was over Oklahoma, sure.
Amazingly, Oklahoma, so much
but that,
more.
That should be more on the fact that Oklahoma shouldn't have been there.
Well.
Than it is on LSU. Not to take anything away from LSU, but of the two games, of the four teams.
Yeah.
The least deserved to be there, and I, for obvious reasons, and for a team that had zero defense, was Oklahoma.
I would agree. Oh, well, yeah, I would agree with that. But you had to. Well, who are you going to put
more
in?
More than saying that that's impressive, and it wasn't from an LSU standpoint, but also you got to take into consideration, Oklahoma was just no match for any of the other three teams in it. My only thing is, I would have liked to have seen, and it's you obviously can't do it, but I would have liked to LSU how they matched up against both teams. Because I think you would see a better game LSU Ohio State than you will LSU Clemson. That's my own personal opinion.
You think they're going to,
and I also think, as Clemson. Well as we say that was a great game between Ohio State and Clemson, let's not forget now, and the referee in the booth earned every bit of his keep in terms of the call and how it was made, and he made Herb Street look bad.
Yeah, he did.
But that call, that fumble that could have changed the game, if they would have done it the way a lot of people do and said slow it down and watch it on replay and how many steps he took, when he came in and said no. It's how the call was made in real time. You have to watch it in real time and let the eye test tell you, was it a fumble or not? And in real time, it looked like he never had control of it. Slow it down, and it looked like you easily could have called that a fumble and no one would have given you grief.
Yeah.
So there was, I mean, it was that. I know that Ohio State was bitching about the calls that didn't go their way and that they didn't get. But overall, a hell of a football game.
But you said OU didn't deserve to be there. Would you have had Georgia? Because we saw that already with LSU.
Not that I'm saying that there was any.
And Oregon
this is one
is
of
your
those
only
years where you just didn't have four super strong teams.
Agreed. You had three.
I mean obviously. Baylor could have been considered.
But OU, Georgia, I mean, Baylor wasn't because of the Big 12 champion.
I think there were three legitimate teams all year long.
You had OU, you either had Georgia or you had Oregon.
Yeah, and none of those teams,
all
to me,
of them were going
to
get boat raced by LSU no matter what. So.
That's absolutely where I was going with it, too. But in terms of, there are three teams that were head and shoulders above everybody else this year.
Yeah.
So, as we said all along, too, whoever slips out of that one spot and has to play Clemson is going to have their hands full.
Yep.
So, we're at the midway point of the show. We just got started, really. We're getting a lot of football action in the early going. So, if you want to join us and something you want to chime in with, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Second half's right around the corner. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Boy, you just...
This is so funny.
You are not going to let it rest today, are you?
I wouldn't either. Good for you, buddy.
I didn't even know the song existed, to be honest with you.
But now you're going to play in the car on the way
home. With Luda.
Carrie Underwood and Luda?
Yeah. The champion featuring Lupus. Lupus? No. Luda.
Christopher, his acting name?
Yes. Do you guys do the DNA test? Have y'all done those? No. Like the 23andMe or whatever?
I have not.
So Nora and I did one, and then it got sold to another company.
Your results did?
Yeah. And this other company called MyHeritage was like, hey, we have your DNA stuff. And
is it hyphenated? Like my hair? A tinge because no. It's part of the DNA process?
No.
Just thought I'd take a shot.
And so they were like, yeah, I kind of ignored it and I didn't really think about it. And then they're like, well, you know, so we're incorporating this all into our system. Welcome. You know, you have an account. I was like, whatever. Then it kind of went into effect on Christmas Day, which I thought was pretty sneaky because, you know, nobody's paying attention, right? So then I started getting emails that are like, oh, you have DNA matches. And I was like, what is going on? Why do I care about this? And then I was like, oh, I forgot to go and sign off on this and you know, say that I didn't want it anymore. But then I was like, well, let me see real quick what's going on. What the hell are these DNA matches? I have the ugliest DNA in the history of the human race. Every person
Nick
that
I could have told you that you could have just given us the money and we didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
Every person that popped up on my timeline as a DNA match is hideous. I was like, good God, I'm the hottest cousin these people will have, and I'm hideous. These are the ugliest. The Laminack DNA,
awful. Elephant Man,
awful. There was one girl, I was like, oh my God.
Sandra Bernhard?
No.
I'm just thinking.
More like Molly from Mike and Molly. Like,
oh man, I'm not even trying. Really? I'm never gonna do DNA thing.
I gotta go eat a salad.
No. You mean your relatives were co-starring with Billy Goodell?
Yes. Bro, it was not pretty. I'm like, ugh, these are all family? Damn. We are ugly, boy.
I'd be more pissed off because that was a big news story that they were selling the results away to people. And
yeah, and people started sending me messages. Hey, we're like third cousins. I'm like, no, thank you, Alabama. Kiss my ass. Delete. I don't know you. I went and deleted my profile, my DNA. I'm like, remove me from your system. I want all this wiped off the planet. I don't want to exist. All these ugly ass cousins with three eyes trying to reach out to me.
Three eyes.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of inbreeding going on, apparently. I don't know. That was weird.
So, yeah, I've never done that DNA test. I probably would never do it.
I don't really. Did you see that?
I shouldn't have done it.
The other controversy with it is you think you're doing it private and confidential. Obviously, you find out your way that it's not if it's sold. But here's the other thing is that now we're watching like one of the 48 hours or one of the crime solving cases or something like that. And they said the other thing is the authorities can like trump anything that you've said, signed it, or believe that the privacy wise, if they're looking for someone on a certain case or whatever, or a DNA match,
the DNA
they can tap into those DNA bases of those companies and you don't have a say so.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of.
I think it's dirty.
Yeah. I mean, but when it comes down to cases, I think a lot of people's privacy is invaded. When it comes down to criminal cases, you kind of have to. If you committed the crime or if you were someone who committed a crime and then you just happened to do a DNA test on one of these websites, why wouldn't they use that against you?
Right. And what would it matter if you didn't commit a crime? It's not like they're pulling your information and using it. But they're not using your information to market to you. They're just looking at a code. They're not looking at your name and address and everything. They take this DNA code and then they search the database for that code. And if there's a hit, then they go, oh, there's our criminal. But if there's not a hit, then it doesn't matter. It's not like they're filing through it. They may find it and be like, oh, this is our criminal's uncle or whatever, and then investigate that as a lead.
I just felt like I was going to get away with it for my whole life, and now I'm worried about the fact that I could get caught for, you know, shoplifting as a child. And I think that's violating my privacy.
Yeah, so you're a little nervous, Joel. You got some skeletons in the closet, buddy?
No, nothing in the closet, but okay. I got a few candy wrappers and shoeboxes have some DNA.
Don't worry,
on it.
There's statute of limitations on shoplifting.
Okay. Well,
you're safe. I'm probably getting close, but not there. Yeah?
Yet.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Well.
I just felt like Joel's more worried about
baby daddy issues.
He's got a baby in Cancun somewhere.
These wild hoes out in Wisconsin can't get a hold of it, can they?
Oregon, maybe, but not that far.
That's hilarious.
That's great. Yeah, don't do those, though. I regret that.
And yeah, I wouldn't.
We did it because Nora was like, oh, well, they'll be able to tell you if you're going to have cancer or other ailments. Mm-hmm. And they can tell you what you're more susceptible to and all that. Speaking of that, I know this is way off track, but I was watching something fascinating last night, and it kind of freaked me out, too. But it was on 60 Minutes as we were going from football game to football game. They have basically what amounts to, it looks like a cure for sickle cell.
Oh, the mushroom thing?
No. They take AIDS. They take HIV. They take HIV cells and without the devastating components of it. Because that basically, I think the science now, this is the real dumbed down version of it. Getting the Barry version.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what you want for the audience anyway.
But it's like HIV modifies your cells, right? And it changes.
Manipulates them, right?
Yeah. And so they found a way to take that portion of HIV that can manipulate cell structure and use it to manipulate the sickle cells because they're shaped like a sickle. That's why it's called sickle cells, which I didn't know that either. But there's certain cells. Everything's supposed to be round. But people with sickle cell, there'll be some that are shaped like a sickle, like a half moon almost. And they'll use these HIV components and pump it into that person, and it reshapes their cells and basically cures them of sickle cell. It was fascinating.
That is interesting.
And then, but the worry is, well, am I going to get HIV? And then Nora's like, you know what? There are some people that are, they have found when they were treating HIV or something like that, that they cured cancer. That there were people that were immune to HIV. That they're because of that they had something where they couldn't get cancer, or they got cancer and it cured it or whatever. There's so much stuff going on. You think about that though, and you think about our DNA and cell structure, and it's fascinating. There are some smart people.
There's a guy
in
right
this
now,
world that figure this stuff out.
And I want to say he's at Harvard.
It's amazing.
But in the process of working on about six other things, he's working on reversing the aging process.
Oh, no. And Nick's going to live forever.
And they're saying the fact that, you know, it was just some podunk university that was trying to get money for it. You'd be like, but the fact that at Harvard, they say he's making progress.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
There are some, you see some of the things that they come up with. And like using HIV cells to cure sickle cell. And you're like, God, who is out there? Who is this smart? Who thinks of this? Who breaks down HIV and goes, oh, well, look, it fixes these cells. Let's use that to go fix. What?
People who know periodic tables, probably.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And analytics. But I can tell you this. So what you were saying about with the DNA thing, the one thing which I think would be interesting if there was a way to figure it out to the standpoint of what I'm frustrated by is with my parents both passed and my sister gone. I only have one sister left. And she didn't know everything about my family. So it's really difficult when Lisa says, hey, does this run in your family? Or who on your side does this or did this or growing up had this? And even from the standpoint of me growing up, because there was such a gap between my sisters and myself. And she's like, God, I wish I could just spend a day with your mom and just ask questions and your dad. And I was like, if there was a way somehow through DNA and otherwise to pull that kind of stuff, that would be very beneficial.
That's exactly why we did it.
Oh, I thought you were doing it to find out your heritage and where you
No, we did it because they can tell you what your you could do your DNA and do that, or you could just do Taylor's DNA if that's what you're concerned about. Yeah, you could just do Taylor's DNA and you could find out.
It's one thing to say, where did Taylor get the blue eyes from? But it's another thing to say, who in your family does this?
They'll tell you you're a high risk of breast cancer. Or, let's say your dad had prostate cancer. Your DNA profile will come back and be like, yeah, you're at a very high.
Well, my dad had heart issues his whole life. So that's why I was always triple checking everything with my checkup and heart issues.
That's what these did. They told us. I mean, it gives you a medical breakdown of what's wrong with you and what could be wrong with you in the future.
Super cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is super
fascinating.
Cool. And honestly, it sounds like it would work, the whole, introducing a, I guess a, a dead or raw form of HIV to help with sickle cell, because that's kind of what you're doing with like flu shots. I mean, clearly, you didn't take one, but I'm just saying,
no,
like, you're introducing a dead form of the flu to your body to help you prevent. But that's more preventative. I guess that's more curing. So I guess that's slightly different.
It's
but
fascinating. But we didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I was just like, man, that's just crazy. Yeah. And she's in the medical field, so she sees it all the time. She's like, well, you think about it. Somebody had to invent the idea or come up with the idea and then invent it of being able to stop someone's heart, and then they have a machine next to it that'll pump it for it. Mm-hmm. Or lungs that will breathe for them while they get operated on. That's just...
That's insane to me.
Think about that. That's just fascinating.
Yeah, or it's an induced coma. So, yeah, so that your body can heal. It's just crazy that someone could conceptualize that.
Pretty amazing.
Conceptualize the fact that we have a little bit over an hour to go in the show, and you guys can still be a part of it. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest as you talk about everything that you saw over the past week or week and a half or just weekend with college football and NFL and NBA, because now it's officially the NBA season has started in the Barry world with Christmas Day games. So lots to get to.
And I watched.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding.
I figured. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call or text that HRNP listener line. Hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know how we do it here. We'll take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. What are you cackling about?
The text line, the variance on the text line from one texter to the next. So these are back-to-back texts. One came in at 2:38, and one came in shortly after. I just read online that Jason Garrett has been fired! !! Can we confirm this and all caps celebrate! !! x4? My Cowboys might be going in the right direction finally. No confirmation of that yet. But the next text says, hey, please, all caps, 2 exclamation marks. Announce that Jason Garrett got a contract extension. I just want to see Cowboys fans' heads explode.
I would love that.
This is where we're at, though, right?
But there are a lot of people that did that the other day. The other day, there were people that were tweeting,
pretending again, like
that Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones just announced that Jason Garrett agreed to a contract, and people were losing their minds.
It's just not going to happen. It wasn't the ultimatum, win the Super Bowl or else.
I don't know if that was the media's ultimatum. I don't know if that's true or not, but obviously, for a lot of reasons, I think that everybody had an opinion. It's just that some people put it out there and were basically, you know, just to try and see the debauchery of, hey, how are people going to react? Yeah. It's dirty pool when you get the passionate fan base like the Cowboys.
And you try and trick them like that.
And Stephen A., you go ahead and spend an entire month with that as your number one piece of content.
Jeez.
If I have to hear one more Dave with the cowboy accent, with the hat and the look of ears, it's just annoying.
Tough to stomach.
For sure.
Yeah. Makes me sick. Look what it did. Look what it did. It made me sick.
Well, you've maintained it. You're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
The DNA testing screwed you up. Rockets played last night. I don't know if anybody watched.
Because I did not. I was at the game.
There was a great football game on. You were at the game the other night when they actually won. They beat the Nets. Regardless, and Nick, we don't have to get into the whole lack of support in the arena and around with the Rockets, but overall, I actually was pretty impressed with what they did last night in New Orleans, simply because they were leading most of the game and they played without Westbrook, Harden, and Capella, so 3/5 of your starting lineup is out. I gave them no chance of winning the game, and though they didn't win the game, literally until the Pelicans got super hot in the fourth quarter, the Rockets were winning the whole game. Gordon came back, looked pretty good.
It's a good rep for the second unit, and it's good for Eric Gordon to get that run, that rep with them out. So I don't know if that's going to be beneficial down the line, but it's nothing wrong with getting some reps while your stars are out. Like,
The loss is what I'm not fond of.
But yeah,
I
get what you're saying. The loss sucks because I tell you what, I looked up at the standings. I think it was yesterday or the day before they played and lost, and they were third in the West.
Yeah, they sure were.
And it was like, wow, this is a team that, you know, with through everything. Now, that's some of that is too, is, you know, the other teams around them kind of struggle a little bit. But the Lakers are starting to come back to the pack as well.
Lakers had lost three in a row. They won. LeBron wasn't going to play this weekend, but he played and they won both games.
They lost four in a row, right?
It was at least three.
It was four. They lost to the Pacers, the Bucks, the Nuggets, and the Clippers.
And then, obviously, they won the last two. But, you know, the thing that continues to bother me, and Nick, you saw it firsthand with the Nets game as well, is they just can't stop anybody. I mean, they can put a 25-point lead on you in no time flat. But every time that's happened recently and I've turned it off going, this is over, I flip back and you've got a one- or two-possession game 5 minutes later, and I'm going, well, you got to be able to stop. So, like last night, Etwan Moore made four straight threes, had five threes in the fourth quarter, and he was 5 of 9 from three. All five of them, if I'm not mistaken, came in the fourth quarter when he was just a one-man wrecking crew, and not one guy went out there and said, I'm going to solely focus on stopping him.
Yeah, but
they don't stop anybody.
But again, it was mostly backups, like you said. I tell you what, the devastating thing to me was that Golden State game.
Well, that sure, was that was debacle. Obviously that the was most terrible. Painful. That's
that
ridiculous.
Was a debacle.
Right.
And that's the one that they should be embarrassed about. Last night, like you said, missing those three.
But here's the thing. You're playing a Brooklyn team without Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
You know, without – Dinwiddie played, I believe. But they were still banged up, and obviously no Durant all year. And yet, as quick as you went up 25, that was a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. And I'm going, that's just inexcusable. I understand you relax and take the foot off the pedal a little bit when you get up a certain point, but it never should be that close. And that's what happened in the Golden State game. This team too easily, too often, take teams for granted. And they look at a team like Golden State on Christmas Day and they go, yep, we should steamroll this team. And
God,
then they don't.
Ugly.
And then they've got reserve players that look like OBJ taking them to the rack every...
I did see that. Did
oh,
notice
my
that. I was
God.
Like, wow, is that...
I'm like looking going, who's beating them?
One thing I have noticed this season is, and it's happened before last season too, we've always talked about how Clint Capella, we wish he would be a little bit more dominant in the paint, just make his presence
stronger.
More known, just be stronger and stuff like that. But there's a bunch of teams that really do struggle with Clint Capella on defense. And when the second he has to go down to the bench and take a breather, that's when the Rockets get decimated sometimes. And I know I've been the Clint Capella, you know, the guy that I've been so high on Clint Capella, but it's really true. It's other teams don't necessarily need it, but there's a lot of teams that can do really well against the Rockets when Clint Capella's on the bench. And that keeps them in games against the Rockets, especially down the stretch. I've seen it multiple times. So Clint Capella can get should get a lot of credit too for what he's done, the way he's evolved, you know, because he's clearly a stronger player than he was in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, defensively, he makes a difference on this team.
Sure he does.
You wish you got more contribution from him on the offensive end and that his game would develop more because it doesn't look like it really has. He still goes up soft. He still lays it in instead of dunking it every time. Or I shouldn't say every time, but sometimes he'll dunk it. But I wish he would improve and get to the level he's at that he is defensively. Because you're right. He's a big part of what little defense they do play.
Here's the problem, too, on a couple things. But before, and to your point, I've said since he came into the league, and this was when he couldn't make a free throw and he struggled with any kind of touch around the basket, that he should have dunked everything and tried to dunk everything. And now that he can make free throws better, it's even more imperative that he tries to dunk everything because he doesn't have a lot of touch around the basket. But the more aggressive he is, the more he will have the results because he will get fouled, he will go to the line, he will draw more contact, people respect him more. But instead, they kind of all feel like he's not going to do anything. And from a defensive perspective, we used to talk about that suicide lineup that they could put out there.
Uh-huh.
But one of the main things was P.J. Tucker would actually use to his advantage his strength and his ability to defend multiple positions.
Yeah.
Right. But now he's getting used because they're trying to use him instead of Capella on seven-footers and big power forwards. And then he's still an above-average defender, but you can't guard a guy a foot taller than you in some case. You know, these guys have 6 inches on them, and then with their reach, it's a foot taller. It's hard for him. And so you're like, okay, well, then I can go to so-and-so and so-and-so on the bench like I used to be. There's no one there that says when you need stops, you could put these five guys on the court, and they can you know, even the Clippers, they put four, and Lou Williams looks like an above-average defender because the other four are so good. The Rockets used to be able to put three or four guys out there that even if you still had Harden not caring on defense, they could look like a really tough defensive team when they needed stops. This team just doesn't have that.
I think they do in a way, mm-hmm. right?
Tell me who's going to, aside from Clint and PJ, well, who's going to stop PJ?
Westbrook. He's an above average defender.
Is he?
I think so.
I'd look that one up.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Westbrook, I mean, not definitely not Harden, but I think Rivers plays decent defense.
You listen to the broadcast. Harden's one of the top defenders.
Oh, my God. Are they still beating that drum with that low
even
post
in the
defense?
Studio, even
crap?
Clyde is beating that drum now with Bullard and everybody. And it's like, just watch the games, guys. I know who pays your check.
Yeah.
Just watch them. Yeah, you can say that. You can try to segment it and say, look, he's a great low post defender, especially against guys bigger than him. I'm sorry, but the defensive end of the is so much more defined than just that.
And just stripping the ball every now and then from a big man, which is easy to do.
Yeah.
Or easier. But you know what? You're right. I concede the point because you talked about having that whole suicide squad lineup mm-hmm. outside of Tucker and Capella. Yeah. You have decent defenders, but nobody that's going to be locked down that you can count on to get a stop outside of those.
Yeah,
two.
Especially on the perimeter. That's where I think they get hurt the most. So,
yeah.
All right, they're home for the next two. They'll do their traditional New Year's Eve game, 6 p.m. tomorrow night against the Nuggets. Then they'll be home for one more before they hit back onto the road. So we've got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go to the show. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. We'll have the final hour next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one-coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one-coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big.